There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by ESPN. Catch the first WWE Premium live event on ESPN, WrestlePalooza, live on Saturday, September 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be an epic night in Indianapolis, featuring some of the biggest WWE superstars. This event is only on ESPN, so go to stream.espn.com and sign up to the ESPN app today for your all-access pass to WrestlePalooza and all WWE Premium live events.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour of Coach podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun.
All right. Here we go. Welcome to the Tour Coach on a Saturday night. Live from the golf dorm. Look at that. You got the welcome to the show, Coors Light, Dew Sweepers golf sign finally lit up. Thanks, special thanks to Kevin Cross for finally buying me a court. We've got Wayne Flint, Wayne of the Drano's, on all the time with me. Will McFadden, you kind of almost are a co-host. You're with me so often down here. But you're getting ready to head to the Keys for Sarah Todd's birthday. It's going to be exciting down in Key West. We're obviously headed to Ocean Reef in the morning for a retreat. And Buddy Fleming, one of our great junior players who, this is his first trip on the road with us from Mobile, Alabama. Thought we'd talk a little bit about Buddy's experience. Buddy on the road. Buddy, thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me down here.
I just thought we'd talk a little bit about your first experience and kind of like what you've learned from being around. You had the opportunity today. I thought was pretty cool. Got to play with Rick Lamb. Willie, you're a veteran of that, picking older, more experienced players' brains and what you can learn from it. I thought it was pretty cool to watch you, and I know on 16 or 17 there, you and Rick talked a little bit. Yep. Talk a little bit about what you saw and what you learned.
Well, Rick is obviously a pretty solid player. I'm just getting to go out there and see what he does compared to what I do. Learn kind of watch him and see how he approaches everything, and then getting a few tips from him will definitely help out.
When you watched him play and watched him, how he went through a round of golf, what struck you as different, special, something you don't do, something you do do? I mean, what did you take from it?
Well, he doesn't hardly ever miss a green. I don't think I ever saw him chip except for on hole 9.
And it almost went in.
Yeah, it did almost go in. And I don't think he missed a fairway the whole time. So it's kind of, he kind of has the ball in front of him the whole time. Doesn't make any big numbers.
Willie, what did you see out there? What do you take when you play? Obviously, you're a touring professional now, but you're one of the best I've ever had at trying to pick people's brains that have been around. Mm-hmm. I personally think Rick is one of the best to be around.
Absolutely.
Not only has he played the tour and had success, crazy intelligent about how he does things and how he thinks and how he goes about it. Mm-hmm. Curious what you've taken from him and what you thought about today.
Well, Rick's great because he's such a nice guy. You know, like, he's easy. He's approachable. Like, when we're out there playing, like, it's easy to have a conversation with him about golf or about football or about anything. So it's fun to fun to be around him and be able to pick his brain. And, you know, as far as out there today, I thought it was awesome for Buddy to be able to go out there and play and see Rick, because for me, throughout the years, I mean, playing with some of your other players has been some of the most influential times of my career, really, playing with some of your guys that were on tour, or like when I was in high school, high-level college players. Like, I've learned a lot of stuff from just being out there and picking those guys' brains, so I thought it was pretty cool to be able to bring Buddy down and be a part of that. I think it's something you can't replicate anywhere else.
One of the things I thought's been cool about this week is I've watched you be a mentor to Buddy at the Country Club of Mobile, right? And obviously a place we're all familiar with. I hung my hat there for a bunch of years. Great spot. Watching you mentor him has been cool. Like, you've been to him the way I think, like, Bobby and Shelton and some of those guys were to the younger guys coming up. So it's been cool. What have you learned? I mean, that's got to be cool for you.
I'd say most of the stuff I've learned has been from McFadden.
Other than me, I mean, I'm giving you a couple.
I'm talking about,
I'm just giving you
small little pointers, like, here and there.
Well, that's probably why he's got a long way to go, right?
But, no. McFadden's helped me out a lot, and seeing how, like, other guys do it, try and learn from them.
I think it's important to watch. And, Wayne, you've been doing this longer than me, even. Makes you older. And I've watched you through the years. I remember in the early days, I'm dating myself, but I remember watching the Jay Hobbies. I remember watching a Jason Duffner lesson way back. Jay Hobby, Ian Steele played the tour. I remember watching a bunch of really good players go through there. So you've been watching this, and you've watched the stuff I do kind of develop over the last 10, 12, 13, 14 years. What do you take from how these young players learn from each other and watching juniors learn from better players and so forth?
Well, I think they're so much better. You know, they're so far ahead of where we were when we were juniors, right? They're miles ahead of us. And, you know, that's because equipment's better, instruction's better, everything's better. Balls are better, the golf club, the golf courses, everything's better. So these kids are smart, and they're wise beyond their years when they get on the golf course. They're still high school kids, but on the golf course, they're grown men. And, you know, the thing that I think so cool is we get them, you know, we've got some kids coming in now that are 8th and 9th graders, 10th graders, and he's gonna help drag them up the ladder, and you know, he's gonna teach them even younger than maybe he learned some of the stuff, and so we're gonna create another generation of that. And you know, I think they all learn to play better because they're around better players, but I think they learn to learn better, and I think they learn to practice better. They don't just spend time as much as we used to. We spent a lot of time because we loved golf, right? We just hung at the golf course all day, every day, because we loved it. Maybe some days we didn't get as much done as we should have. We probably had a lot of fun, but, you know, we didn't progress fundamentally as fast as these kids are doing today. I think the information available to them is way better, and I think it's way more organized for them. And then I think they're, you know, again, being young but wise beyond their years, I think they're able to take that organization that we help give to them and go on their own and, you know, spend the amount of time that needs to be spent, but all in an organized fashion, which really produces pretty good results.
No, that's perfect. Will, you've watched what we do change over the years. You know, you've been with us so dang long. I mean, you know, I think what we've tried to do is constantly form a team of people around young people that could help you get better and cover all the bases, whether it's Colby's going to be there tomorrow or Scott Lynn's come in and done a bunch of stuff, or it's Greg Carton.
Right.
And I think the cool thing is I'm just using you as an example, is you've used pieces of the stuff all of them have given you. You don't need it all the time. But talk a little bit about what you've learned as you've progressed over the time.
Well, like you said, I've been around y'all, like great instructors and great players through y'all for a long time. And I mean, almost everything that I've learned has come from y'all and then the players. And so for me to be able to take some of the information that I've learned from y'all and help someone else like Buddy, I think is great. Like, obviously I don't have it fully figured out, otherwise I'd be playing the tour. But, you know, I think it's,
and even then won't have it fully figured out, right?
Golf's incredibly hard, and so to be able to just take little bits and pieces from everybody, and, you know, sometimes I'll be out there practicing with Buddy and I'll learn some things from him too. I mean, it's just constantly being aware of what the people around you are doing, like whether you learn something from them from something positive that they're doing, or you learn something from them from something negative that you're doing. Like, it's a lot easier to see somebody else do it than it is to see yourself do it. Mm-hmm. So I think just constantly being aware of your surroundings, especially when there's good players around, is a huge part to getting better.
Yeah, I think there's no mistake. You look at there's always pockets of good players to me. We'll use this as an example because it was early in my career, but like, you know, you had Bobby Wyatt and Robbie Shelton, but then you had Vince Cave, who won state high school, coming right behind him, and you had a Steven Setterstrom that played at Alabama, and you had a bunch of these, you know, you had a bunch of kids, a Dave Ingerson that was a real good high school player, just went to college. You had all these kids, right? Wilson McDonald played at UAB, played pro, was a super good player. You had all those good players all around within a, like, they all kind of, like, overshadowed each other. Like, you know, like, they overlap their time periods, right? And even before Bobby, you had Zach Sucker, right? Like, you had Zach was ahead of Bob, but, like, they all kind of overlapped each other. And you know, I think that states and places go in cycles. I think it does reflect a little bit the instruction in places. But, like, I think one thing, like, it's cool, like, there's some good players in Mobile. You've obviously benefited from that. But I think trying to get all of them together down here or in a place.
It's cool, yeah, for sure. I mean, I know early in your career, you probably learned more from me.
Mm-hmm.
But as you've established your career and run with your career, I'm starting to learn more from you.
I still enjoy hanging out.
But that's the way it is. I mean, that's the golf community and that's the golf camaraderie. And, I mean, let's face it, we're all just trying to get really good at what we do, whether it be teaching or playing. Everybody's just trying to get better every day, and we all learn from each other. I think it's one big team, one big family, and, you know, that's something you've done great with the Dew Sweepers, is you've gotten, you know, you've got
a
big team.
We do. We are a family.
I mean, everybody cares about each other.
Some of us do better at dinner than others, but
that's right. But everybody cares about each other, you know, and so. But that's how it goes, and that's, you know, when you get good information going along with that kind of a model, if you will, a lot of good stuff will happen from that.
So Willie, if you weren't going to be here this weekend, and Buddy was coming in, what would you tell Buddy to do, and what would be your hope for Buddy that he would get out of this weekend?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is whenever. Like I said a minute ago, like when you're around good players, or
because I think any player of any level could benefit from what you see here. Like whether you're trying to break 198, like what you can learn from better players.
Yeah, like even if you're like a mid-level like club player and you're playing with the best player at your club, like, I mean, for me, anytime I was around anyone at one of these retreats or camps, whether it be a player or a student, like just trying to be a sponge and hear everything that everybody says. Like, I mean, a good example is like Rick and I one time when I was down here talked about chipping for 2 hours, And some of the things that he said to do for me just personally didn't work. But a lot of things that he said led to some great fundamentals that I still use to this day. So you've got to be a sponge and pick up everything that everybody's saying, because everybody that we're surrounded by down here knows what they're talking about. And so just listen to what everybody's saying, and then everybody's an individual, so you kind of filter out for you what works the best.
What pieces fit the puzzle.
Right, but if you don't listen to everything, then you're not going to be able to put the puzzle together.
When I listen to him, it makes me think of that segment we did about HJ's empty cup.
Right.
Like, he's
right.
An empty cup. Our old mentor, we did this thing. He did a show way back on the Dew Sweepers 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was about how the best students come with an empty cup. Like, they don't have a dirty cup that's got preconceived. Like, they come empty and willing to take in information and, process it. And we had a lot of people actually comment, but that's how you get more out of what you do.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And I think that's when you know that you're getting better.
HJ was smart now.
I think that's how you can also start to realize that you're getting better, is when it becomes easier to decipher what is going to work for you and what's not.
Right. That's right.
Because, like, as I've gotten older and a little bit better as a player, like, sometimes we'll be discussing something on the lesson tee and I'll know immediately that it's not the right feeling. Mm-hmm. But you're able
to say that, too.
Right, and I've gotten enough information over the years from y'all that I've listened to and, like, been able to kind of mold into myself as a player. Like, I say the better you get, the easier it is to understand what's going to keep you going.
I also think coaching good players, or players that are really trying to get good, our job is to give you guidance and guide you in info. And then you to figure out what works for you. I think when you try to push a player to just, this is the way it's got to be, this is the way it's got to do, I don't know that it works for them. But it's to say, like, hey, here's why you hit X shot. Mm-hmm. Here's why you aren't better at this. In my opinion, like, let's figure out a way together that helps you do that. Like, if I just tell you this is the only way to do it, but, like, how many times have been using you as an example, like, we've been working on something and you've texted me 10 days later, I was on the range and I tried this, is this what we're going for, right?
Yeah, because it's always looking for the feeling, right? And so, like, sometimes the way that we're trying to find the feeling isn't the way that I'm going to feel it, right? So I've got to keep experimenting and using the same guidelines that you've given me to try to figure out how I can do that more efficiently every time.
And I think, you know, that's our job as teachers. Mm-hmm. I know you're great at it. You've been great at it for a long time. And the, you know, I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten more open to outside the box thoughts and ideas from players of how to do things. I think when I was coming up early, you and HJ had taught me to teach a certain way. Yeah. And if a player would go, well, what about this? And it was outside that, I'd be like, nah, I don't know about that. Wasn't because they were wrong. It was because I didn't really probably know what the fuck I was doing, right? Like, realistically. Yeah. But now that I'm older and been doing it too long, I'm like, you know, I can see where you get that, right?
So. Yeah,
and
right.
Rick, it's funny that we played with him today. Of all the players I have, he pushes my limits on that. Him and Lucas were the two that would push my limits on what I thought the most. Because when I started, I mean, this is going on a different tangent, but that I even knew you, but like when I started with Lucas, I'd come up under you and HJ, had a bunch of success. Everything was very much more on plane, swing the grip left, blah, blah, blah. He wanted to hit a big draw, right? Well, that shit wasn't going to work, right? So I really had to think out of the box, and we had a great relationship and a great run, and he hit a bunch of hooks and draws when we worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to think outside different, and like Rick very much likes to feel his hands more and a release,
mm-hmm.
and some things, and this, you know, it's, he has different feels than lots of players. Luke Guthrie would be very much like that. It's like, that's what challenges you as a teacher. I think it makes you better.
Makes you keep thinking, that's for sure.
Right? So, like, it was interesting, like, out there and riding with Rick for 18 today, like, just talking, even, you know, we're just talking through stuff and different things, and most of the time just goofing off, having fun, but, like, when we would talk, like, it does. It very much provokes you as a teacher to think, and you actually have grown into a player now where you do the same thing. Which is good, and I think that makes. I also think that makes a healthier teacher-student relationship than where you have, you tell somebody something, they just always do it, and they don't talk to you, and they just look at you, or the guy that when you say something argues every time and doesn't even try to do it. You know,
right.
There's two sides to that.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no question. I mean, if you can get the student to come to you, willing to be open and listen, mm-hmm. the empty cup, mm-hmm. if you will, you can get so much more done. Even if some of what you say doesn't fit what's needed that day, at least they get an overall understanding of, they get more of an understanding, I think, of what their game is, and they understand what clicks or what feels work for them. And, you know, I think that's certainly a way to advance,
yeah.
you know, your playing skills, because you just have more and more confidence when you get to that point. But, you know, our job is to continue to try to give the fundamentals that are going to help them achieve, you know, what we think they need in their mm-hmm. golf swing, and what's going to make their golf swing more functional and able to hit, you know, the shots they need to hit under the pressure they're going to face playing competitive golf. And, you know, the more they all understand that, and, you know, the fun thing of all these things is watching these young guys grow up. I mean, I remember when Will was 13, 14, and now he's a grown man, you know, and heading Key West.
He looked exactly the same.
Yeah. And now we got, you know, another young guy.
He looked exactly the same.
Another young guy coming up who's going to go play some college golf and do great, and is doing great. So, you know, that's the fun part, watching all these young guys and young girls turn into great young ladies and young men, you know. And it's fun watching them get better.
I'm really excited for Buddy, and I want you to guide him here. Because I think recreational golfers could do the same thing from a good player or a caddy. I'm excited for him to meet Coop. I no question in my mind. So everybody listening to this and watches it and everything like knows Coop is a legend, and he's going to be on this in the next one. But like, won a major as a caddy. He's also colorful, I think, is a great word for him. And but you always talk about how much he loves golf.
He does love golf.
You can't be around him and him not love golf. No, he loves golf, but his knowledge is, he's so sneaky smart about how to play a golf course. Yeah. Crazy.
It's amazing.
Sneaky smart. Amazing.
Like, and he makes it seem so easy.
Right.
Like, makes it seem so obvious, mm-hmm. which is, I think, the
coolest
part.
What do you hope Buddy gets out of his time with Coop?
I mean, I'd be interested to hear what Buddy thinks that he should get out of the time with Coop.
I don't really know Coop. Never met him.
Well, you're fixing to.
I don't know what I'm supposed
what you're getting
to expect,
into here?
But, I mean, I would say, like, he needs to be very open with Coop about asking questions and, like, make sure that he fully understands what Coop's trying to say when he's out mm-hmm. there. Because, I mean, I think when Coop's talking on the golf course, you should be listening, mm-hmm. no matter what he's talking about. And we know he can be talking about other stuff other than golf. You definitely need to listen to that, too. But when he's
you know
talking,
what, though? That even the other stuff on the golf course, there's a wisdom to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
Especially, like, I've noticed that he, when we're out there playing on those practice holes or out at Old Palm or something, the harder the hole gets, the more he's kind of drifting off talking about other stuff. Like, and I guess that's from him as a caddy, like, on tour, like, maybe if you're coming up on a really hard hole or coming down the stretch with the lead, you kind of make some conversation in another direction than golf. But I've picked up on that and thought it was pretty interesting when we're out there.
There's a time and a place to lock in, right?
Wayne, yeah. You've been around Coop a bunch. Like, what do you like about what the caddy aspect teaches players?
Well, I mean, he just, you know, how he looks, especially when you get around the greens, how he looks at the green complexes and, you know, where to land chips and how to play chips and short shots around the green that may be short sided or whatever, how to use slopes, how to get it coming from different angles. You know, it's not always just a straight shot right to the pin. You know, it may be a, you know, hey, good shot here, we might land at 12 feet to the right and it may catch a little ridge, and by the time we get a little bit of run out on these greens that are fast, we'll be down in there 4 or 5 feet. And we can make that every time.
Here's why I want you to spend time with him. He caddied for probably one of the greatest drawers of the golf ball ever, and he did a magnificent job, and they won a major. You love to draw it. Mm-hmm. When Stallings told you to fade it the other day, you almost had a coronary, right? Freaked y'all out. You need to talk to him about what you were saying today about how you could – if it started online, it looked like it started right mm-hmm. to you because you're left-handed. He's been through all that, right? He stood through lessons where we're talking about, right?
Ball.
I think that's
like, going to be a big asset.
That's yeah. a huge asset for you, mm-hmm. right? I think that's going to be.
In fact, I think they should just follow each other, or Buddy should follow Coop all week. Just follow him around.
Maybe that's what I should do.
I'd skip the stuff with me, and you just we put you with Coop.
I'm just going to spend my whole day tomorrow with Coop.
What if we put them as roommates?
It'd be life-changing.
Coop is a legend.
He's the best. So I think that's a cool – but I think that's a cool aspect of it. And lastly, I'm going to bring up, like, I think that one thing that's going to be great for you is going to be the fitness aspect. You've obviously had some of it with Morgan. And yes, you do. We'll talk about how – that putting you on the spot, but you've been down here with me a bunch, and we've been to Ocean. We're excited about going to Ocean Reef. It's an amazing place. What, you know, the fitness aspect and that part, Colby being there tomorrow is going to be huge for him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this for my golf swing personally, when Colby came into the picture and we started working on all of those biomechanic stuff, like, it was a total change for me. Like, I never even didn't even know what a glute was. And then we started talking about getting glutes activated. Now I've been lucky enough to be around it for so long.
I still don't have a glute.
I've started to understand, like, for my body through working with them, like, for me, what's extremely important for me to get ready to play. And I can see, like, pretty obvious differences if I don't get ready to play the way I'm supposed to with the proper warm-up and whatnot. So it's been huge for me, the fitness side of it, for the last few years.
Wayne, you've seen it become bigger and bigger and really maybe the biggest part of the instruction and what we do.
How's it changed, or how's it? What have you thought as you've watched that?
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, I think I've said this probably every podcast we ever do, that, you know, that's when I say that you're teaching me stuff that I needed to learn.
By the way,
about.
That's a nice vineyard.
That's a good one here, right here.
Mm-hmm. That looks better than some of the old HJ polos.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. All right,
so was, right. You know, but I've always said, you know, I mean, that's been the most enlightening thing to me over our time together. I mean, you know, it's fun. It's always fun learning more and more and more about the golf swing. But, you know, I heard him say something the other day, and I wish I would have screen recorded it, but I don't really know how to do that very good, so I missed it. But he said that one of the things that is great for great players, and it's a calming.
Where did you hear this?
It was on his story. Yeah. And it was a calming thing when they get under pressure on the golf course was being able to ask your body to do something that it knew how to do, that it could do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see it every day when we teach, because we teach, you and I still teach a lot of regular golfers, you know, beginning golfers and, you know, higher handicap golfers that are trying to play better at their country clubs and have more fun. We still do a lot of that. We haven't just put ourselves in a little corner. We only teach this group of players, you know. And so we ask people every day to try to learn to do something that their bodies a lot of times can't do or not. Can't do it very well. Let's put that
very fast or very
big. Very fast or very well. And, you know, so that's been something that's awesome to me to come down and spend time with him. I mean, he's such a great guy, too, you know.
We're going to have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, he's a world-class guy for sure. He's one of the nicer people you ever meet, but crazy smart when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, we're all really, really lucky to get to spend time with him because he is some kind of special, that's for sure.
No doubt.
Well, boys, it's Buddy's Big Adventure. I think that's what we're going to call the podcast.
There we go.
Buddy's Big Adventure.
Chapter 1 in Palm Beach Gardens closed, heading to the Keys.
In all seriousness, though, I have a blast coaching you and teaching you. We've had a good first year. We're celebrating our one-year anniversary here.
When are we doing that, tomorrow?
Roses. I'm bringing you roses to the tea tomorrow.
I'll have to bring you some, too.
Chocolates. I like chocolates.
Okay.
But anyways, I'm excited to see what you think is your first trip down. I hope you've had fun so far. It's never without incident or entertainment. So we're going to have a good time. Wayno, thanks for joining us.
It's been fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. And we'll check back in with Buddy, see how he likes the week. Okay.